At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Ready to go on this Monday. My brackets aren't, but I don't think anybody's brackets are doing that well. Although I'm looking at the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, we had over 10,000 people who entered. The first place bracket belongs to a person who is not affiliated with basketball in any way, shape, or form. He is a frequent guest on the show. Anybody want to take a guess who is first with the celebrities? Yes, Todd.
John Smoltz.
John Smoltz, no, but he does love Michigan State. Seton O'Connor.
Well, following along this weekend, Sandman was dominating.
Sandman is in second place.
Ooh.
Bracket challenge. John Smoltz in third. And, of course, you would think that Peter King would be number one with the celebrity bracket challenge.
Obviously.
Yes, obviously. Todd Fritz is tied for fourth with John Daly, Connor McDavid, Nichelle Turner, Troy Aikman, and Ross Tucker. Yeah, Paul.
Peter King, when we last had him on the show, he said this: I don't watch 1 second of college basketball. I haven't watched 1 second, but I want to be in the contest.
The bottom three right now, Rebecca Lowe has the worst bracket. Dang. Then Darius Rucker, and then Josh Duhamel. Josh Duhamel still winning in life. And so is Darius, and so is Rebecca Lowe. But that's the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. By the way, the odds to win March Madness, according to DraftKings this morning, Alabama, then Houston, Connecticut, UCLA, Creighton, and then Texas. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. And you start to look around, and normally when you fill out your brackets, you'll fill out your brackets because you know that coach or that school has a tradition of doing well. Only four former champions remain in the tournament: UCLA, Connecticut, Arkansas, and Michigan State. The last time the Sweet 16 contained four or fewer former champs, you have to go back to 1999. That's when you had Ohio State, Duke, Michigan State, and Kentucky.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle, @DPShow. We go into March Madness, and we're looking to see which team is playing the best, who's going to be the number one seeds, but we're always looking for the Cinderella story. And this year hasn't disappointed. You go into next Thursday and Friday for Sweet 16, and there's a unique blend in here. Connecticut and Michigan State have both won the title before. The two teams coming in as a 4 and a 7 seed. Then there's the Princeton Tigers. Their head coach will join us coming up a little bit later on. The 15th seeded Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson, will join us. And, you get a couple of impressive wins. You knock off Arizona, you knock off Missouri, and now you're in the Sweet 16. And this is where you make one of those runs. If you get another win, all you want to do is have somebody talk about your program. Although there was a really funny line from Nicole Arbach, who writes for The Athletic. She said, oh, can't wait to see all of those kids who now want to go to Princeton because Princeton's winning in the tournament. Yeah, good luck. That happens sometimes. You'll see a team do well, a school do well, and you go, that's where I want to go to school. No thought of what you're going to major in. It's like, hey, Alabama's winning in football. I'm going to go to Alabama. That's what Paulie did, or at least tried to.
Sure, I applied there because I heard you got like free football tickets.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. This hour's program brought to you by Mercedes, Mercedes-Benz SUV, the chance to go in and set up a test drive, your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. All you have to do is download the app and you can watch this program. And our radio affiliates, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and nearly 400 cities around America. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. There's always those storylines you're watching, and then there's a subset of that storyline. The Kentucky situation is interesting because it felt like John Calipari was on the warm seat, if maybe not the hot seat this year. They end up losing yesterday to Kansas State. And John Calipari has the number one recruiting class coming in. He has the number one player in the country coming in. He recruits himself out of trouble, it feels like. Because, you know, normally you win and to get out of trouble. He recruits because you're like, oh, if you know, he leaves, then what are we going to do? You know, is he going to take the recruits with him? Well, here is Coach Cal on the expectations at Kentucky this season.
Do you empathize with sort of the sense of frustration that I'm sure some Kentucky fans are feeling right now about kind of where things are?
I have empathy. You know, I understand what this program's about. And I think, again, that's what makes it what it is. And that's why I tell players this isn't for everybody, because the expectations are so high. And the same with coaching. It's not for everybody. This thing is, there's a high expectation level, and it is Kentucky. You put that on, the other team's going to play out of their minds, and they're going to play like they have nothing to lose. And that means you got to play that way.
He puts the blame on the players, basically. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, I can tell them play hard. I didn't tell them to get out-rebounded. I didn't tell them to not hustle. He's like, ask them. I can only, you know, there's only so much I can do. And he's right about that. But we don't want to hear that from a coach. You know, usually you're going, hey, we got to play harder. You put the loss on me. Coach Calipari's not that way. He's like, go ask them. I told them, make their shots. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, he's kind of counter in his, like, even at halftime, like, I didn't tell him not to guard the three. Who told him not to guard the three? We practice all week to guard the three.
Yeah.
He had this moment last night too, John Calipari, where he was the game, it was in like the last minute of the game, and there was another foul call, and he, I don't think, agreed with the way the game was being officiated, and he just stood there right in front of the ref, clapping, the most sarcastic clap I've ever seen. Well done. Good job.
Buddy's got a great recruiting class coming in. Yeah, Paulie.
But does a guy like John Calipari get out before they get him out, or it doesn't work that way? Like, you can't leave when you have the number one recruiting class, but this, if he were ever going to leave, should be the time he leaves, when it's still his choice-ish.
I would want to coach those recruits coming in.
But if you bow out early next year, it's worse than this
Well,
year.
He's the. But, you know, some of these recruits are going to be gone next year.
Right.
What is it, DJ Wagner? I mean, he's a one and done.
He's going to leave his car running in the parking lot.
Yes. Yeah. He's not even going to have a library card. But I think, I don't know what Coach Calipari is facing there at Kentucky, other than the expectations of what he has built, that every year you expect them to bring in great talent and make a run in the tournament. But, you know, in all honesty, when you look back, nobody's had more talent and done less with the talent, with the bottom line of winning championships. Because when Coach Cal comes on the show, he tells us how many billions of dollars his players have made in the NBA. And there's a famous line about Calipari that he says, hey, I'm not here to win championships. And he's right. He's only won one. But his job is to bring these kids in, Let them play 1 year because that's what you have to do to go into the NBA and then get you into the NBA. Get you as ready as possible. But you're going to bring in another highly recruited, highly touted recruiting class here, and the expectations are going to be even higher next year than this year. Yeah, Paul.
Imagine if you're a local kid, like you said, I wanted to go to Alabama to watch football. Imagine if you went to Kentucky and half the reason was to watch a basketball team. If you started there 4 years ago, no tournament, they missed the tournament, they bowed out in the first round, they bowed out in the second round. They've had one NCAA tournament victory in the past 4 years. That's hard to, almost hard to do.
Yeah. With that much talent.
Usually, those Kentucky teams usually win a couple, and then they bow out in the final eight or the 16.
Yeah, see.
But his record in the tournament is something like 57-20 or whatever. So, and even with, I know going into this tournament, I think it was 32-10 with Kentucky under Calipari in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. That's, so the expectation is the next guy do better than that.
Yeah. By the way, looks like Rick Pitino has a new job. He was at Iona, got them to the tournament again. Let me hit the Wayback Machine, because it was almost a year, 2 years to the day. 2 years to the day that Rick Pitino said this on the show. I know that you're on record as saying you're going to retire at Iona, right?
Yep, 100%.
If Indiana called, would you listen to Indiana?
I've had a few calls from people about, and I'm not saying Indiana, about other situations, and I told them, look, I'm honored, I'm complimented, but I you see, Dan, when the president and the athletic director flew over to Iona, I tried to, because he was the president of Transylvania, a small school right next to the University of Kentucky. I tried to explain to him what went on at Louisville and how I had nothing to do, and he interrupted me, wouldn't let me go 10 seconds more, and said, Coach, we've already spoke to all Kentucky officials. We spoke to the Louisville AD. We spoke to seven players you coached at each school. That we have already done our homework. We wouldn't have flown 16 hours here if we didn't do our research. So don't even bring it up again. We want you to be our coach. When he said that, I wasn't sure I was going to take the job. I immediately knew in my mind. I was with my son, my nephew, and my niece and in Madrid. And I immediately knew I was taking that job. So I have no interest in any place, anywhere. Would I like to someday go back to the EuroLeague and coach there again? If Iona ran out, yes, I would. But outside of that, it's just retirement.
All right. Well, coach is now headed to St. John's, it looks like. And I get it. Look, but you box yourself, you know, in a corner here when you say, hey, this is the only place. I understand you want to say all of those things when Iona brings you in. I can't imagine coaching anyplace else. Okay. But you got to leave a little window here. You're a coach. You're a coach. This is Rick Pitino.
I blame you, Dan. You can't ask a coach if this is his last stop.
Well,
that's a flawed question.
Well, call me flawed then. Yeah, Marv.
Do you really think in his mind he really thought this was it? Like, look, I'm lucky to have this job at Iona.
No. No, because you want to continue to be great, and he's a great coach. We all know that. But you get to a point where you're going to be attractive to these other schools, because Georgetown, St. John's, some of these openings are going, well, do we take a chance on somebody younger or somebody we know who can come in and get us to the tournament? I mean, you're pretty much guaranteed that you're going to be a winning program. Now, this is a big challenge for him to take over St. John's. But if you bring St. John's back, now, I don't know if you could bring it back to the Louis Carnesecca days, but if you bring him back and you own the city, boy, that's a big, big, that would be a great accomplishment for Pitino. But he was in Greece. He went over there to coach. He couldn't coach here. He was toxic. Now, here he is, back. And then perhaps going to St. John's. Yeah, Seton.
It does still seem so crazy that with the history of basketball in New York City, there should be a college powerhouse there.
Yeah.
There really should be.
Yeah. As much as they love college basketball. Yeah, Marv.
I feel the same way about DePaul. Like in Chicago, wait, you don't have better players? Paulie could speak to that better than I could.
That's been a long, long time.
But the fact that you have all these guys, the best player in Chicago normally is probably an NBA talent level player. And DePaul's not even in their top five.
Yeah, but those guys aren't staying. They're going to, you know, Duke or Illinois, any place but DePaul. But that's when you had Ray Meyer and you had, you know, some great, great players. Aguirre and Terry Cummings, and made tournament runs and number one seeds. But that's a long time ago. You have to go back, you know, 40 years ago. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, with Pitino, there, I can find articles from a few years ago say, wow, what a sad way to end in 2017-18 at Louisville. But then his lawsuit, you know, his firing was changed into a resignation. He settled. He didn't take any money, but they declared it like it was not a firing. Can you believe that? If you would have said that this guy's going to have another act or acts plural, no one would have bought that 4 years ago, Rick Pitino.
Well, now you don't have to worry about, you know, money, because that was brought up too, that, you know, how much did you pay this recruit? A five-star recruit. Well, you can do that now. That's not a big deal. Now, there's other things that Pitino has been involved in, like after hours at his restaurant, that you don't want your coach to be involved in. But there's, you know, it's not smooth around the edges there with Rick. But he can coach. He's, you know, could be on the short list of top coaches in basketball history. NBA and college basketball. He is that good. And if you go back to what he did at Providence, when he had that really small lineup, Billy Donovan was on the team, and he is one of the first coaches to take advantage of the three-point shot. And he had a tournament run. He's just a brilliant basketball mind. And with what he did at Louisville, you know, he knows how to coach. He did that at Kentucky. I remember going to Kentucky when Rick was there, and they had just come off probation. They won 13 games. I think they went 13-13. And I thought it was an unbelievable coaching job. 14-14?
Yep.
14-14. And Jamal Mashburn, I went down there to do a story on what he did. Was able to, you know, breathe life back into a legendary program there. But looks like he is headed to St. John's. Is that official?
I don't think the paperwork's been done. He hasn't been introduced in any way, but it was hours after the game, less than 3 hours after the game, it was announced that he was going to St. John's.
Okay.
I don't think it's done.
You got Notre Dame that's going to be open, Georgetown that's going to be open. I mean, these are all really good jobs. Well, Georgetown used to be. But, and Notre Dame, like Mike Bray is stepping down, but he said, I'm not retiring, but it's like, I feel like that's kind of a weird transition there. And he's been there a long time. He'd been there over 20 years. All right. We'll get your phone calls here. And once again, we'll talk to the Princeton head coach, Mitch Henderson, who also is a former player there at Princeton. Man, everybody, you fill out a bracket, you can't go into somebody's house with them showing you their bracket, and they have no idea about college basketball. I went into, I was visiting a friend and walked by, and her and her husband had their brackets out, and they were watching Kansas State and Kentucky, and they wanted to tell me that they picked Fairleigh Dickinson. And I said, well, awesome. But if you say, well, why? And they go, oh, they're a New Jersey school. And I go, okay, I get it. But they want to tell you, Josh Duhamel sent me a note late Thursday night. I don't know. He might have had Furman or something. He goes, I had Furman. I said, you're in last place. Shut up. You know? Everybody's got a bracket. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to phone calls here. Best and worst of the weekend. And it's 18 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
How are your brackets? Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Hour two on this Monday. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you like. There were a lot of both. 877-3DP show. Operator Tyler is standing by. Say good morning to our radio affiliates, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. And if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, and if you're not, all you have to do is download the app. You can watch for free. Poll question for hour two is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Dan, I threw two of them up there already. Who had the worst weekend, of course? Purdue, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke. Purdue running away with that one, 86% of the vote. That's unfortunate.
Okay.
And then I also threw up there, because we were just talking about it, who would you rather have, Odell Beckham Jr. or Brandon Cooks? 65% of the audience say...
OBJ.
Brandon Cooks.
Oh, okay. Well, I do need to see OBJ. He's running routes, he's in shorts, and he's making one-handed catches. That's great. I just want to know if he's going to be healthy. Can he stay healthy? How much of those two surgeries, ACL surgeries, are going to impact him moving forward?
Second one feels...
I know with modern medicine, but having ACLs and having an ACL myself and just trying to get back to normal life, what I'm seeing now is impressive with OBJ. I just don't know how much he is asking for. Because is it $20 million a year? I don't want him at $20 million. If I could get him for $7 or $8 million, sure. I'll bring you in. A one-plus-one incentive-laden? Yes, Paulie?
In the past three seasons, Brandon Cooks has 230 catches. Odell Beckham has 70.
Okay. Plus, you're getting two different personalities there, Brandon Cooks and OBJ. But I thought Jerry Jones, that he couldn't pass this up. I mean, if you're going to – you're losing Zeke Elliott, which to me is not that big of a loss, but – if you're going to make that offense be a dynamic offense, are you changing the style of your offense? Are you going to give more targets, more weapons for Dak Prescott? Or do you want to be a running team, a more conservative team? You know, Mike McCarthy talked about that, being more of a running team. I don't want to pay my quarterback $45 million to be a running team. And you just got rid of Zeke and Tony Pollard's coming off surgery. Yes, Mark.
Odell Beckham's Twitter said, I'm just confused where the quote is for me that said I want 20. All I'm saying is that four ain't enough.
Yeah.
So five.
Okay. So he'll sign for five.
Said four, wait. So I said five.
Yeah. That was five for 100.
Yeah.
So it's 20.
I would say like four for $20 million. Like it's $20 million, but it's 4 years for $20 million. The Jets, when they get – I was reading Peter King today, Good Morning Football. And he was talking about the number of times the Jets are going to be on primetime TV. And he's saying that this could be a pretty big number there. They might even open up. Now, normally you have Super Bowl champs open up. That would be on Thursday night. You could have the Cowboys and the Jets maybe play on Sunday night. But, I mean, we don't know when Rodgers is getting there. We assume he's getting there. It's inevitable. But could you do Jets and Cowboys? And I would think you would want to wait later. You would want to wait till October or November for that. The Jets had one national TV game last year. Peter King says that he bets they have 11 or 12 this year between a Thursday nighter, maybe two on Sunday night, one or two on Monday night, maybe five of the Sunday late window doubleheader games. Also, late in the season, there's ESPN has the Saturday games as well. There's a Black Friday game, November 24th, day after Thanksgiving. Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. They are going to be on national TV quite a bit. Yes, Marv.
What about Jets at Chiefs opening night?
Hmm.
Biggest acquisition in offseason against the Super Bowl champs opening night?
Okay. They do play, right?
They do, yes.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. You can't go out of your way and go, you know, you don't play the AFC West, but we're going to let a special dispensation. But Rodgers going to get some primetime treatment here. The Jets are one of those 1 o'clock games. It almost feels like every weekend. Jets will be on at 1 o'clock. That's not going to happen this year. But the schedule will be announced in May. So we got 7-plus weeks. They wait after the draft, and then you start to get your matchups of, you know who you're going to play. The question is, in you know, what sequence are you going to be playing? And that's always interesting, too. Are you playing how many road games before you play a big game? How many home games, then you go on the road? Is there a quick turnaround? But we got about 7 weeks before they announce the schedule. But Peter King thinks probably 11, maybe 12 nationally televised games. Let's see. The next great movie night is here. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, Oscar nominated, streaming on Peacock, and it's one impressive cat. We are wondering about people who fill out brackets, because everybody does this. And I'm not sure when this changed, where it became a big, you know, big business. Because I have friends who are in different pools where you can bid. They bid $10,000. They got Purdue. So these guys are all together, and there's over $200,000 in this. So these are big time, you know, investment people. And you could get, like, Duke was, you know, $6,500, or you could get UConn. And they have all prices there. And if you take the worst team who gets blown out by the biggest margin, you can win money that way. There's a lot of ways to win money. Yes, Eaton.
So these people spent the $10,000 to get a one seed.
Yeah.
And that one seed they got was Purdue.
Yeah, so there'll be a value attached to all these schools.
Yeah, 16 is worth this, but worth that.
Yes. Yeah. But I saw the guy after the Purdue loss. I said, "How's it going?" He goes, "Oh, you want to know how it's going?" I go, "What happened?" He goes, "Purdue." I said, "Oh, yeah, you know, they didn't go to the big man." He goes, no. My partner and I, we put up $10,000 on Purdue. I said, "Are you stupid?" And he goes, yeah. So couldn't you have gotten UConn, Duke? And then Duke got knocked off by Tennessee. Yes, Paul.
I went to NCAA.com, and they have some history of brackets. The very first bracket, according to Slate, came from an 1851 chess tournament. They decided to put up a big board. They could find an actual photograph of it. Brackets have been around with the NCAA tournament since the 1930s. They used to do with 1939, there was a championship bracket, and it was printed, and there's you can remember it. Oregon won, by the way, that year over Ohio State. And according to them, the brackets got so popular. The first bracket pool they could find, according to the Smithsonian, was 1977 in a Staten Island bar, where a bar had patrons fill out brackets and bet on it. And that was, you know, who knows who actually did it, but that's what they have. They really credit the internet era of making brackets accessible to everyone, and you could print it. It could be put together instantaneously. So the mid-90s is when they really think the brackets blew up, as far as access that everyone had, when everyone could print one. at home.
Yes, yeah,
because you used to be able to cut it out of the newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was fun. That was a fun part of it, too. Not that, you know, having it on the internet is cool and all, but.
I don't remember filling out a bracket when I was growing up. It used to be I'd just say, well, UCLA's going to win. And most of the time they would. But I don't remember it, you know, having competition here. It's like fantasy. And now where fantasy football is, I remember doing, it was called rotisserie baseball. That's how fantasy started. And then all of a sudden it kind of morphed into all the other sports that you could do fantasy. But with the brackets, everybody's filling them out. It's almost like you watch the Academy Awards and chances are you've seen maybe two of the 10 movies. And then, but you watch and you're like, I'm watching the Academy Awards. I didn't see any of these movies. We're watching March Madness. We didn't see any of these teams. Fairleigh Dickinson. Yeah, sure. Florida Atlantic. Furman. Absolutely. And the Princeton Tigers. This is how it sounded as Princeton put away Missouri to advance to the Sweet 16.
This one is over. It's official. It is history for the Princeton Tigers. For the first time in school history, Princeton is going to the Sweet 16. Just the fourth 15 seed ever in the history of the tournament to advance to the round of 16. Princeton 78, Missouri 63.
Mitch Henderson, Princeton head coach, will join us coming up a little over an hour from now. Rick Pitino is... he has an offer from St. John's in serious discussions, and I'd love for him to stay at Iona, because 2 years ago when he was on the show, almost 2 years to the day when I had him on, and he said that he never turned his back on Iona. Well, you get a chance to go to St. John's, and maybe you bring them back, and you do that in New York City, and that would be a big deal, really big deal. He's a great coach. You're going to have Georgetown's open, Notre Dame's open. Has Texas decided that they don't need to go out and get somebody now that Texas has done well in the tournament? I don't know. Because that was another one where John Calipari's name was coming up. Coach Cal bowed out against Kansas. He does have an unbelievable recruiting class, maybe the number one recruiting class coming in. But this might be, as strange as it's going to sound, a make-or-break season coming up for John Calipari. Because if you're going to bring in these, you know, big-time recruits, they're going to be one and done. And then how far are you going to go in the tournament? Because then you're going to have to recruit another class to come in. Let's get some phone calls here. Best and worst of the weekend. Chris in South Carolina. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, DP. This is the original Chris in South Carolina. Just a couple things. And Mar, please don't pull the trigger. You're quicker on the button than a first-year Marine cadet. Dan, just want to say there's going to be some infighting with the DP show with the callers here. I am going to be the caller of the year. And I understand the other Chris in South Carolina tells Tyler that he's the cool Chris. Well, let me tell him something. In the words of the great Stuart Scott, brother, I'm cooler than the other side of the pillar, and I'm cronger than you.
Mm.
Today is National Ravioli Day, Dan. I have a bet for Fritzy. I will take Alabama against the field. When we win, I get to rub raviolis all over that potential litter of puppies hanging in front of him. Seaman, me, you, and the national kid of your choice is going to the Super Bowl. DP, love you, baby. Roll Tide.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. National Ravioli Day.
Sorry, I missed that one. You have that kind of stuff on the rundown.
Yeah, yes. See.
And believe it or not, what I have for breakfast?
Raviolis.
Raviolis. Oh, nice. How about that? Breakfast raviolis.
Yeah, tomorrow. Wait. So Chris wants to rub raviolis on your body?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. It sounded a little disturbing.
No, it's not.
Sounds like something I would have done.
Yeah.
A waste
two
of
years
food.
Back.
Waste of food, though.
New York City drafts at the draft. Kissers rubbing raviolis all over top of your body.
Going out on a limb with only one seeds that are left in the tournament.
Well, you did do a shot off Fritzy's belly.
Oh, I did a shot off Fritzy's belly. We've kissed in the opens that we've shot before. Remember we did Thelma and Louise and I had to kiss Todd in the backseat? We got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty intimate.
We're very close, though.
Yeah, it's weird because it wasn't in the script, you know? It's like I turn around and you're kissing Fritzy and I go, no, you guys don't do that.
I'm like, guys, we're rolling.
Yeah. Scott in Nashville. Hi, Scott. What's on your mind today?
Hey there, Dan. I got two worst and one quick line of advice. My first worst, Memphis losing. It felt like when Purdue went down right before that game, the intensity went up to an 11, knowing that a trip to the Sweet 16 got a little bit easier. I do kind of want to blame the refs for the illegal shot clock review and the missed timeout call at the end of the game.
That was bad. That was bad. Yep.
And that ball over.
Yep. Yep. That was bad.
Second worst is now I have to turn around and cheer for FAU because as someone from Memphis, I can't have the Vols going to a Final Four. That would just be.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, I didn't think Tennessee had enough offense. Tennessee's had a pretty good year sports-wise. You should think about it. I mean, it's sad that Hooker got hurt. You know, Penny Hardaway threw the water bottle after the loss. They did miss the timeout. That it felt like everybody on Memphis was calling a timeout, and somehow they missed that. And then Penny threw the water bottle. Yes, yes, Paul.
What if coaches had timeout buzzers that went right to the booth or went right to the scoreboard, and they once they hit it, though, they can't take it back? That'd be a bad idea or a good idea?
How about you just send something that sort of shocks the official?
Yes.
It's like, timeout.
Dog collar.
Yeah. These coaches come on the floor. Like, they're out there coaching while the game is going on. I'm surprised. I thought that there was, like, the coaching box that you had to stay in, but they'll be out there. Or calling a timeout. They go on the floor now calling the timeout. Yes, Tom.
And they're constantly chirping in the ref's ear. Every time you look, it's amazing what they, how much they put up with what's decided to be a technical and what they just have to kind of ignore from the coach.
Yes, Marv.
And I'm sure they are incredibly intense. Look, I got $350,000 extra riding on this.
Yeah.
Like, if they get to the Sweet 16, I'm sure there's, like, incentive base, so I'm sure they're coaching even harder.
No, no.
I think that's why Eric Musselman took his shirt off.
Really?
$1 million. Woo!
No.
Okay, maybe not.
I agree with Seton and Paulie. I think he took his shirt off because he's proud of how he looks at his age. 58 years of age? All right, I get it. It's like Adam Schefter. How old is Schefty? He couldn't wait to, you know. I'm sure they really had to, you know, kind of nudge him to take his shirt off. Hey, you know, you want to do your Kirk Cousins? No, I'm not going to. Come on. Okay, I will. I'll take my shirt off. Yes, Seton.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He's 58. He's in shape. His wife is gorgeous. His team is killing it. And I know this moment's going to go viral. Shirt's coming off.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Paul.
Schefter's 56. That's the region where you want to show off what you got. The problem is, though, with guys like that and Musselman, you got the pants with the belt. And no matter how good of shape you are, you can't overcome the pants and belt to make it look like you have love handles, even though you might be in good shape and have abs.
Mm-hmm.
Schefty suffered from that.
Oh, okay.
Broke down that video as well. Go to YouTube.com for all those details.
We got a lot of free time around here. Hey, back that video up. Let me see if Musselman's got, does he have any abs there? Yeah, right there. He's got them right there. It's fun. It was good. I don't know if it's going to the Sweet 16 worthy that you take your shirt off, but I'm guessing now if he wins again then against UConn, then he takes his shirt off again, right? Yeah, Paul.
Relooking at the video, because of the change, you can't tell. I think Schefty might be a chest shaver. Or he's just, yeah, there's a very little chest hair. Almost none. Keep an eye on that story.
Okay. Hey, Paul. Take a break. More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. We will give you hours after this Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Princeton knocked off Arizona, then Missouri. Princeton has Creighton coming up on Friday, and their head coach in his 11th season, Mitch Henderson, joining us on the program. Are you surprised that you guys are going to Sweet 16, or how surprised are you?
I'm surprised. I would be lying if I wasn't. And it's so good to be with you, by the way. I'm such a big fan of your show. But the guys aren't. And I think that's the key. That's why we are where we are. And the other thing I'll tell you, you know, we don't have any transfers. You know, that's sort of the thing in college basketball. It's really a homegrown group, one through, you know, first year through fourth year. And they're really close and tight-knit group. So we have a guy on the team who speaks Chinese. Guy that can tell you every flag in the world by taking thermonuclear dynamics. So they keep each other humble, and they have a really good time together. And I think that there's something special, as you know, in March when that happens.
But Coach, do you embrace Cinderella, or do you try to, you know, give it the Heisman?
No way. I think you got to embrace it, right? Like, we love, you know, we have a really cool fan base here at Princeton, a passionate fan base about their school. And they love being, you know, they love the attention. So we're embracing it. I think it's, you know, that's key, especially on Friday night. We play a 9:05 game, get them nice and rowdy and embrace the improbability of it. Have a lot of fun with it.
Can you outsmart teams? And I'm not playing to the cliche of Princeton and, you know, obviously the academics here, but how does that help you as a coach?
I certainly thinking now of Creighton, I don't think you're outsmarting anybody. Although I would say that, you know, savviness, high skill level, a commitment to doing the things that you need to do to win. And then, you know, we have a group that's willing to do those things. To me, that's playing really good basketball. That might be considered smart, but, you know, just more possessions, try to have more possessions in these games. You know, you just got to win one, and then you get the next one. So I don't know, that's smart to me. Then I think I'll take it.
How often do you go back to 1996 with the upset of UCLA when you were playing it for your team? Like, how much do they know about your role back in 1996?
Rarely. Thanks for asking that. And rarely. I don't think it's wise to talk about your playing days, although that picture is up all over the place here. I'm right here in the gym. I can't wait to take that thing down and put some Arizona photos up. You know, all the parents, when they come on their visits, they're like, we saw a picture of you downstairs. Boy, you could jump high. And, you know, I was like, not anymore. You know, you know, you want for your team, for them to have their own memory. And they have that now. And I never went to the Sweet 16. I'm so happy for them, and our school is too.
And sometimes the team doesn't change, but the people around the team change, that now all of a sudden, you know, you got everybody's attention. Whereas before, they're probably like, probably going to be a one and done. But hey, we got to the tournament.
Yeah.
Now it feels like the expectation level has jumped quite a bit here.
Good. Why? You know, that's why I'm here. You know, Coach Krill passed away this year, and we've been honoring Coach this year, but he'd be the first person to tell you he wanted Princeton basketball. And we always have thought of ourselves as we have been a nationally relevant powerhouse program. That hasn't been the case in terms of us making the Sweet 16, but why not? You know, let's keep it going. You know, let's move the needle here and keep pushing it.
How do you recruit against other schools?
First, we cast a huge wide net in terms of grades. That's the first part. Then we aim for the top 20 best players with grades in the country. And we're really simple. We're really upfront. We tell them all about what it's like to be a student athlete here. And again, I mentioned to you, you know, guy on the team speaks fluent Chinese and wants to be Secretary of the State. And we celebrate those things, Dan. We talk about it all the time. Like, I don't think there's any hiding from that parents entrust us with their kids to say to the kids, no, you're going to be great at both school and basketball. Our guys are in school today. And my parents did that, and it changes your life. And it really changes your life forever. And we talk about that openly. And some people like it, and others want something else. And I think that's the other part, is also saying no to families, to moving on in a situation where it's maybe not a great fit for you or the family, because there's an unrealistic expectation that, you know, you're not gonna maybe be willing to do everything you need to do to be a student here at Princeton, but that's the expectation.
But with the amount of money that's in college athletics now, and do you guys have NIL money at Princeton?
No, not the way other schools do. We have sort of a very different way of looking at it.
It's legal now.
It is.
You got an endowment that I think could buy you probably a national championship team.
Yeah.
But you don't do that.
No. And, you know, that endowment serves a very important purpose to the school. And that's far beyond me. What we do talk about, though, is the enriching experience of the 4 year. You know, we don't have graduate school, you know, professionalized graduate school here at Princeton. We, you know, no med school, no law school. We really love and dive in on the 4 year undergraduate experience, the relationships with professors. And, you know, I know you could, I know your sense of humor a bit, you know, you'd be like, well, show me, you know, where's the money, you know? But it's, we really dive in on the experience, the whole experience for the student athlete. And, I think that's enriching in its own way. Now, look, like, we're in the Sweet 16, so there's some opportunities for our guys going into this weekend that they can take advantage of.
We're talking to the Princeton head coach, Mitch Henderson. You grew up, though, in Kentucky. Weren't you in Lexington?
I was.
Did you grow up in Kentucky? Did you want to go to Kentucky?
Well, I grew up in Vincennes, Indiana. There's a junior college there called Vincennes Junior College. Then we moved when I was 12 to Kentucky. And Patino was the coach. And believe it or not, I on my junior high basketball team was Keith Willard, who's the head coach at Maryland, Gigi Smith, Tubby Smith's kid, who was, you know, just was at High Point, and Darren Van Horn, who was the head coach at Northern Kentucky. All of these, you know, Willard and Smith dads were an assistant with Patino. I mean, everybody wanted to play for Patino. This was 1989-90 when that really good Kentucky team was forming. Ended up taking Duke to the final game. So, yeah, I wanted to go. I wanted to play for Patino.
Did you cry after Duke beat Kentucky in the tournament with Christian Laettner's shot?
I was. You know what's funny? I was at Princeton on my visit at the Nassau Lynn when Laettner made that shot. I didn't cry, but I was so in love with that team. Richie Farmer, Darren Feldhaus, Pelfrey, Sean Woods made a runner to put him up one. I loved that team. And I used to go in the driveway and practice that Sean Woods runner all the time. I hated Laettner. Just like, you know, I wasn't crying.
What if Laettner said, hey, coach, I'd like to talk to your Tigers before they play Creighton?
I would gladly welcome that. You know, I loved that. Did you see that? I hate Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And, you know, I hated him because I was a kid. I didn't know anything different, but he was a killer. I would love to have him talk to the guys. I loved, you know, I mean, he's, you know, not everybody loved him, but he was such a great basketball player.
You know, you get in these moments, and John Calipari talked about this after the loss to Kansas State. He said, not everybody's built for this. And he was talking about players. How do you know if your players or player is or isn't ready for a big moment like this?
We were at Dartmouth. Best way I can answer it. February, 11th, we had a bad game. And I went into the locker room and I lost it, and, as much as I can lose it. And I was like, we got back to Princeton and I was like, don't ever let that happen again. And what you're thinking about in that moment is we don't have it. We don't have it. And then we did. All of a sudden we did in February. And then this weekend it took on a whole new level. All of a sudden we were close with Arizona. We didn't lead until a minute left in the game. And the guys were just chatting nonstop. We would come back to the huddle and the guys were just like, we got this, we got this. And it was unanimous all the way around. It was just constant chatter. And if we had lost the game, I would have been so proud of them. But then it took on a whole nother level, and it's just grown. During the Missouri game, they were on fire, not just making shots. They were having the best time ever, totally responding to the moment.
Okay, be honest with me, with family members filling out a bracket. How many had you beating Arizona to start out?
Just my 10-year-old son. But he has us losing in the Sweet 16. And this morning at breakfast, he goes, I'm regretting that decision.
Well, it's a great ride. Have fun. And do you have your speech ready for Friday?
Yeah. Not quite ready. You got anything in mind?
Oh, gosh. Maybe you go Herb Brooks, the U.S. Olympic hockey team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to remember this for the rest of your life.
Come on. Why not? I think there's some good belief and thinking, why not us?
So, and I do love that slogan. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's,
I agree.
You got to believe in yourself before everybody else is going to believe in you.
And that's what got us here, honestly. So why not keep that going? Don't try to be something you're not.
Is why not us? Is that proper grammar? I went to Dayton, so
I'm not the right person. I'm in coaching.
But you got into Princeton.
I did by the skin of my teeth.
What were your SAT scores?
I don't remember.
Everybody remembers.
Perfect. No, I was on a show the other day. They were like, hey, we knew some, they were not too long ago. They were like, you heard you had a 4.5 at Princeton. And I was like, off by several points. But I'm really happy to be here. And I work at the best school in the country, Dan. And I'm so thrilled to be representing us.
Just remember, Coach, C's get degrees.
Yeah. A friend of mine used to say D equals diploma.
Play some D against Creighton. Segue. Yeah. They got some guys who can score 30 on you. But congrats so far. Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.